Have you ever wondered how far faith can take you? Abraham faced the ultimate test of faith when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac, the long-awaited child of promise. Imagine the tension as Abraham climbed Mount Moriah, knife in hand, trusting God's plan. What happened when Isaac asked, "Where's the lamb?" How does this event point forward to God's ultimate sacrifice for humanity? Today, you'll learn about trusting God in impossible situations.
Genesis chapter 22 records the greatest test of faith for Abraham. It's also going to illustrate the future death of God's only son, the Lord Jesus. We read here in verse 1, "After these things, God tested Abraham." Now, you need to understand, beloved, this is not a pop quiz. This is more like the final exam in God's curriculum of faith. And it appears that Abraham is ready and waiting. God says to him here in verse 2, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you." Now, did you notice here how the Lord describes Isaac, your son, your only son, the son whom you love? You see, mom and dad here had waited 25 years for this son of the promise to be born. And by now, Isaac is a young man. Many times over the years, Abraham would have told Isaac about the promised land and a nation and a coming Messiah through their descendants. But now the Lord is asking Abraham to offer his son up as a sacrifice, literally a burnt offering. Child sacrifice has no part in the worship of God. The pagans did this, not followers of Yahweh. And so we would naturally expect to hear Abraham refuse this command. But instead we read here in verse 3, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him." Now, verse 4 tells us it took him almost 3 days to get to this place of sacrifice. So just try to imagine what that journey must have been like for this loving father and son. How many times would Abraham have replayed Isaac's childhood, his miracle birth, his first steps, the first time he said, "Papa," those special times as Isaac grew into a God-honoring young man? You could almost feel Abraham's agony here in verse 5 as he tells the others to stay there while he and Isaac go on up this hill. In verse 6, we read, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together." Now, no doubt, Isaac has helped his father prepare many sacrifices before, because he's going to notice here that they have everything that they need but the sacrificial animal. So he asks here in verse 7, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Now, no doubt Abraham has to clear the lump in his throat as he replies here in verse 8, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." Now, I believe Abraham is trusting God for one of two results. Either God is going to provide an animal for the sacrifice at the last moment, or Isaac is going to be miraculously resurrected right there on the spot. And we know this because Abraham tells the others in verse 5 that they're going to worship and they will return. Now, the narrative quickly moves on here in verse 9 to read, "When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son." Now, by the way, don't overlook Isaac here. He's also trusting in the Lord's promise. This isn't just about Abraham's faith. It's about his faith as well. There's no lamb miraculously waiting for them up there on that hilltop. So after probably some agonizing moments, Isaac, offering no resistance, is laid out on this altar. No doubt Abraham and Isaac are struck by the gravity of this moment. You can almost see the reflection of the sun flashing off that sharpened blade as Abraham raises it into the air. And at the last moment, the angel of the Lord himself, speaks here in verse 11. Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy. Do nothing. Don't do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Wow. Can you imagine the relief and the joy that overwhelmed both Abraham and Isaac at this moment? They're probably hugging one another through tears. Here's verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went up and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Remember, Abraham had said earlier in verse 8 that God would provide what? A lamb. We just read that God provided a ram instead. Why? Because this was going to become a prophetic announcement of a future and final sacrifice. The lamb had yet to arrive. Jesus is going to be introduced centuries later by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. This here in Genesis is an announcement that the lamb is going to come. John the Baptist says the Lamb has finally arrived. Isaiah prophesied of the suffering Messiah here in Isaiah 53 in verses 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh yes, God provided the lamb. And what a phenomenal picture Isaac and Abraham make here of God the Father and God the Son. Just as Isaac is placed upon the wood on the altar of that sacrifice, so also Jesus is placed upon a wooden cross, which was nothing less than an altar of sacrifice. Furthermore, Isaac is willingly laying down his life, just as the cross of Christ shows us Jesus willingly dying. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 says that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, let me tell you something. All of this is taking place on Mount Moriah. Moriah is going to be later identified as the place where the temple was built in Jerusalem, 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. Moriah is actually a ridge, a mountain ridge, and on this same mountain ridge is a place that will later become known as Golgotha, John 19 verse 17. Beloved, the place where Isaac is offered is the same area where Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, will die. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all to find out one day that it is the exact same spot. Well, after that ram is sacrificed, the angel of the Lord restates the covenant promise to Abraham here in verses 17 and 18. I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, this is a prophetic promise that includes the coming Messiah, who will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. Now, as chapter 23 opens, we're told that Sarah dies. And in that day, people were buried in the land of their birth, which for Sarah would have been back in the land of Ur. But Abraham buys a cave of Machpelah here in the promised land in which to bury his wife. You know what this is? This is another act of faith. Abraham is buying more real estate. Why? He's believing God's promise that this land will indeed belong to him and to his descendants. My friend, in the coming kingdom of Christ on earth, the final fulfillment of God's promise will come to pass as all of that land, that promised land, will belong to Israel permanently without any objections, any hesitation. That day has yet to come. Well, until our next journey continues, next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Well, friend, today Stephen taught us that Abraham certainly went through a tremendous test of faith. And Stephen, many of our listeners are experiencing their own tests and trials.
That's right. And it is a great test and trial as you go through it, friends. So I hope to encourage you with some comments from individuals who are doing the same thing, trusting the Lord through difficult trials. Eric writes from Minneapolis, Minnesota, "Your series on the Psalms has encouraged me. I've been battling depression for years, and your messages reminded me to hope in God even when I don't feel like it." Rebecca writes from Phoenix, Arizona, "I'm a single mom, and life often feels overwhelming. You taught a lesson from 1 Peter 5, verse 7 about casting all your anxieties on him, and that message helped give me hope to press on." One more, Scott, very quickly. Megan writes from Atlanta, Georgia, "I discovered wisdom for the heart while going through chemotherapy. The messages about God's presence in suffering gave me strength to face each day." Friends, thanks for writing us. We're praying for you, by the way, as you go through these trials, trusting in the Lord.
We are, and we have a team of people who pray by name for every request that comes into our ministry. If we can pray for you, we'd be honored, but you need to let us know. You can visit wisdomonline.org/prayer and let us know how we can pray for you. In fact, if you'd like to leave your phone number when you visit there, a member of our team will call you and pray with you over the phone. Once again, that's wisdomonline.org/prayer. Stephen's going to continue teaching through the book of Genesis and then all of God's word in the days ahead. So be sure and come back and join us next time on this wisdom journey.